Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Good to see all of you here this morning, and we are blessed and honored by having you today. And we want to wish all you ladies a happy Mother's Day. Have a blessed day. This is your day, ladies. Take advantage of it. Amen. Praise God. Well, if this is your first time, I don't think I see any new faces, but if this is your first time at Oasis, we want to thank you for coming. And we want to invite each and every one of you to just join in for what God has got for you today, because he says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And we are gathered together in the name of Jesus this morning, aren't we? Amen. And so he is in the midst here with us today. And so he's got something specially for you. So before I turn over to Pastor, I want to just speak a word of blessing over you. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your people this morning. I speak, Father God, your blessings on them, in their homes, on their jobs, wherever they go and everything that they do, wherever they put their walk, wherever they go, they are blessed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Everything they put their hands to,
yes,
prospers in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that we are the healed, healthy, whole, and strong. We thank you, Father God, there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And we give you honor and glory and praise this day. And we take, Father God, what we hear today, your word, and we take it with us this week, Father God, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Turn over to Pastor.
Praise God. A couple of little things real quick. One, I know y'all are going to be shocked, but I'm going to ask them to adjust the air where it's not. I think everybody's frozen in here.
Gosh, chosen, frozen.
Just a little bit. And one other thing, I want to affect the atmosphere a little bit. Can I ask y'all to do something for me? I know I've asked it before. I want y'all to come over here. Thank y'all for doing that.
Amen.
I mean,
yes.
It makes us a little cozier. I know there's a lot of people today that, you know, the weather has affected them. And But I just want it to, you know, it's good for us to be closer together sometimes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
So, now we're going to do neighbor looking time. Everybody look at your neighbor. Point at your neighbor. Smile at your neighbor. See, now y'all are close to your neighbor. And say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never
be the same
again
in Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. And me and Pastor Sharon are going to continue what we started last week. And let's just lead us in prayer over this.
Okay.
If you will.
Father God, we just thank you for your presence today, Father, that we have felt so strongly in this service. And Father, we just thank you that we have hearing ears this morning, Father God, and that our hearts are open to your word. And Father, that you just minister to each and every person today. You know each and every need, Father God, and we know that you love us with an everlasting love, and it's your heart's desire, your will, and your desire, Father God, to meet every need. And we thank you for it, and we thank you for our strong anointing on this word today, and we thank you for a strong anointing on Pastor as he ministers the word, and myself, in Jesus' name, and all glory to you, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Praise God. So y'all ready to receive this morning? Glory to God. And one, I want to tell you, I don't know where you're at. You bless my heart when you pray and the things that you say, but praying, it just opens me up when you pray. It was really good. Sometimes you need to say things and not just think them. You know, I mean, I'm talking about us. Sometimes we don't acknowledge things that bless us in such a strong way. Okay, if you will, get your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 13. Glory to God. Now I know we've we're teaching on strife last week, and we're still teaching on strife. But you know, this is good for us, because this is what the Lord's got for us. Okay, I'm going to do just like I did last week. How many of you, I'm going to take a poll, have ever been in strife? Okay, so everybody in the whole building has been in strife. So we're all in the same boat together. Amen? Yes, sir. Genesis 13 and 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So there was family strife. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and their herdsmen were in strife because they were, you know, saying, that's my cow, and that's my cow over there, and that belongs to me, that possession, and that one belongs to me. And they got in strife really bad. How did they solve it in this situation? They parted company. Now, let me explain something. Not in every situation do you part company to solve strife. But in this particular situation, the solution was for them to part company. They put a distance between them. Now, like I said, it's not the same in every situation. But in some situations, you do have to put a distance between it. Now, we said last week that strife is arguing and fussing and saying wrong words and hurtful words. And it opens the door to the enemy and to every evil work. Our homes should be quiet, peaceful habitations without strife. Our churches should be quiet, peaceful habitations without strife. Our jobs should be quiet and peaceful without strife. We shouldn't cause problems by speaking things that will divide. Be a peacemaker. Don't even listen to the complainers and the dissenters like on your job. Be a peacemaker in your church. Don't even listen to the complainers and dissenters. Look at your neighbor, point at your neighbor, and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope. He's talking about someone that's not here today. So if we listen to the negativity, the griping, the complaining, it affects us because there's a law of hearing. Offenses come and people get in disharmony because they're not used in the place that they think they should be, or things are not done the way they think they should be. A lot of churches have been destroyed because people weren't peacemakers. They let strife in. They let in arguing. They allowed differences of opinions to separate and divide what God had joined together. They allowed offenses into their hearts, and they let it take them away from where God called them. The peacemaker unites. The peacemaker creates harmony. If you and I are going to be peacemakers, and we know so-and-so has a different political opinion than us, then a peacemaker wouldn't bring up that subject on purpose, so as not to cause strife and division and arguing, to keep peace and harmony and unity. It's not just about politics. That's about any area that we know that it's going to cause a division or an argument. We have to be sensitive to that and try to stay away from that. Amen? That's being a spiritually mature Christian. Pride says, I'm smarter than you are. Pride says, I'll let everybody know how smart I am and how stupid you are. The proud person divides. The humble peacemaker doesn't have to be noticed or recognized. The peacemaker understands the spiritual importance of keeping peace and unity. James 4 and 6 says God is against, now this is the ESV translation, God is against, he opposes, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It says God opposes the proud. He's against. Romans 13 and 2, so anyone who opposes, this Common English Bible, the authority is standing against what God has established. People who take this kind of stand will get punished. Now, I know we've got a lot of demonstrations, and you know I'm not political. I don't bring politics from this pulpit, and I don't let any teachers do it. But, you know, I know there's a great divide in the country, and there's a lot of, you know, differences of opinion. There's a lot of strife going on. Okay, there's a lot of differences of opinion. But those differences of opinion are being put out there by busting windows and setting cars on fire and doing awful acts of, stealing and looting and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And God's not in any of that. God opposes that. We can have differences of opinion. That's okay. But we have to do it peacefully. We have to do it in a godly way, in a godly manner. Philippians 2 and 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Now I want to read the same scripture in Holloman Christian Bible. "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." We should be afraid to talk about our boss on our job, because we're actually opposing God. We're flowing against Him because God set the authorities in place. You say, "Well, I don't agree with everything that person did or that boss did." That's not what the Scripture says. It didn't say you had to agree with everything they said. It says you're supposed to flow with that authority, though. If you flow with that authority, you're flowing with God. And if you flow against that authority, you're actually, God's going to oppose you. He will, a lot of people want a promotion and they get mad because maybe they weren't recognized and somebody else was recognized. And they cause all kind of strife and all kind of division and all kind of problems. And they maybe cut throats and do everything they can to get that spot that they feel like they deserve, that promotion. And they get it, but then they'll lose it because God will have them sit down. He'll put somebody else up. Because they got it the wrong way. They didn't let God do it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, this is a scripture that we speak in here a lot, and you may not know this is where it's from, but it's 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." On your job, your boss may not do things the way you would do them, but a peacemaker will go with the flow. Someone who is not a peacemaker would talk about how they would do things differently. Now hang on. Let's qualify that. There's nothing wrong with having different ideas. There's nothing wrong with having, you may have a better idea. And if you bring that idea to someone in authority in the right manner, not in an opposition manner or I'm smarter than you manner, but, what do you think about this? I'm telling you, God can use that idea and to change things for the better. But someone that's got strife or a spirit of division on them, that's not how they do it. They try to divide people and get so-and-so and this set of group of people on their side and this many people against, the authorities on their job, and that's not the way to do it. Someone that's not a peacemaker would give voice to their opposing opinions, and they would stir up strife on their job by not speaking the same thing like that their boss is speaking. Their words could cause others to get in disharmony and division. Actually, by not humbling themselves and being a peacemaker, they're being used by the devil to stir up strife. And actually, God will oppose them. They might have a better idea. They may have a better way of doing something. But they got to bring it, in the right way. And the boss may recognize it or he may not. But that's up to God. Yeah. But by letting God be God, sometimes by not letting God be God and putting their opposing two cents in, they're standing on the wrong side of God. Yeah. And God will oppose them. Pride is not a peacemaker. Pride says, "I'm right and you're wrong." In the Bible, in Numbers 16, it talks about Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abram, sons of Eliab, our son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of all the Israelites. 250 princes or leaders of the congregation called to the assembly, men well known and of distinction, and they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "Enough of you. You take too much upon yourselves. Seeing that all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, why then do you lift yourselves up above the assembly of the Lord?" And Moses heard it, and he fell upon his face. Moses was a really humble leader, and he knew what God was going to do in this situation. He knew it wouldn't be good. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew it won't be good for them because they're rising up in strife and they're causing division. Now, if I was picking messages, I don't pick messages, but if I was picking messages, I certainly wouldn't have picked it for this group today. I would have picked the message, if I was picking, I would have picked a message that said, thank God you're faithful when it's raining. Thank God it's you're faithful and you made a way when it's hard for you to come. But you know, God knows what we need to hear. I can only speak what He gives me to speak, and this is what He gave me to speak. And we all, pastor needs this. We all need this. All of us. So we know on Korah, it didn't turn out good for him. And we know, you know, there's a lot that goes on in these scriptures, and I'm not going to bring them all out. But in one portion, it says, the ground under the offenders split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households, and Korah and all his men and all their possessions. It never ends good. It may look good for a while, but I'm telling you, churches, there are a lot of churches that are started out of strife. They're started because this one got mad at that one and said, we're going to take half these people and we're going to go over yonder and we're going to start a church two blocks from you, and we're going to do everything we can to steal every one of your members. We're going to do that, and God's going to bless us. He ain't going to bless you. He may bless you temporarily, but there's going to be a price tag attached to it because it's not done right. You understand? Now, that's you know, I'm saying that through a church, but it's not just churches. It's jobs. It's businesses. It's homes. I mean, there's so much. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. This is King James. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, here we go, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Discord, trying to divide. Have you ever had somebody say something, you said something, and somebody took your words and twisted them and made them sound like they were something else and told them to somebody else, and then that person they told them to were no longer your friend because of what was said, and it was a lie because it was twisted out of shape? I tell you, it makes me mad. I mean, I have to really keep my flesh under in situations where I know that's happened because my flesh wants to get involved in it. Are y'all the same way? And we've all had that happen. He that soweth discord among brethren, it says, these six things the Lord hate, seven are an abomination to him. It doesn't say God doesn't like it. It says he hates it. In order to stay in unity, we need to stay in humility. If we want to keep the unity, you'll have to pass up many opportunities to be in right and to get into strife. Stay in proper agreement with authority. A teenager is under their parents' authority. You come out from under that authority a lot of times by rebellion. Okay? How many of y'all have ever been a teenager? La. That's all of us. I mean, unless you are a teenager now, you've been a teenager. Okay? And you know the phases, and you know some of those phases, or you know more than any human being on the face of the earth because you're a teenager. You have experienced everything there is to know. And your parents are the stupidest people that there ever was on the face of the earth, which is a lie, by the way. And the older you get, the smarter your parents get. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. They're on the wrong side of it. You come out from under spiritual protection because a teenager is under their parents' authority. As long as they obey and stay under that authority, then supernatural protection is released over them. Now, I'm fixing to turn it over to Pastor Sharon, but I want to give you one last little nugget from my life. When I was a teenager, I asked my mom, can I borrow your car? She said, sure. And she said, there's one little thing I need to talk to you about. I said, sure. She said, there's a friend of yours. She named him. She said, he was a very good friend of mine. She said, he is not, she knew we were going somewhere. She said, he is not to get behind the wheel of my car. And I said, okay. And she said, nuh-uh. She said, you didn't hear me. I said, he cannot drive my car. I said, I got it. She said, mm-mm. Let me paint you a picture. You will never drive my car again. And really, she threatened my very existence on the planet Earth. She threatened to kill me, or at least that's the way I heard it. I will kill you if you let him drive your car. She painted me a very realistic picture. I had it before I left. I left. She knew he was going to do it. I didn't know it. As soon as I left and went and picked him up, he said, oh man, I'm so glad you got your mom's car. He said, let me drive it. Let me see the keys. I said, uh-uh. He said, I know you're going to let me drive it. Come on. You know, we're buds. Come on. Let me drive the car. I said, uh-uh. He did it over and over and over. I said, you can talk to your blue in the face, but my mother will kill me. You understand, if I let you drive this car, you will not be under the wheel. He said, she'll never know. I said, she'll know. She'll know. I said, she'll know. As soon as I walk in the house, she'll know. I said, mm-mm, you ain't getting the keys. Under any circumstances, you're not getting the keys. Okay? I was under her authority. By flowing with her authority, under her authority, by obeying her and not getting into strife, I was supernaturally protected. By not flowing with her, I would have opened up the door for the enemy to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what did the devil want in that situation? He wanted me to get into strife with her. He wanted me to be divided from her and come out from under her authority, her spiritual authority, by disobedience, by complaining, by being angry, by being mad that my friend couldn't drive the car. But by flowing and staying in unity and harmony, a hedge of supernatural protection kept me safe. I'm absolutely sure we would have had a wreck. And that wreck would have, the reason we would have had a wreck is because I would have opened the door by giving him, doing something purposely disobeying her and doing something wrong like that. I would have opened the door for much strife, but I would have opened the door for the enemy to cause us to have a wreck and maybe kill us. Pastor Sharon. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise God. That was awesome, wasn't it? Amen. These days we need to hear more teaching on that kind of stuff because the world is getting looser and looser with strife, division, not respecting authority and that sort of thing. One thing that I was thinking of was when Pastor was talking about on your jobs and even in church or wherever you're at, you know, if you're wanting a promotion or anything like that, you know, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. So you don't have to backbite and you don't have to cause strife and stir up division and stuff like that. That's the world's way of doing things. But if we follow the guidebook, the Lord is so much smarter than we are, amen, because your boss is going to see that you've got a gift and you will get that promotion that you deserve if you do it in the right way. Amen. And I wanted to speak on becoming a champion. And, you know, God wants all of us to be champions. You know, he said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. And so an abundant life, I would say, would be a life of a champion. You know, but there is one main ingredient that we all have to have in order to be a champion. And that ingredient, Pastor talked about some, is unity. We've got to know how to flow in unity in order to be a champion. And in Genesis chapter 11, and I'll just paraphrase that this morning, it talks about how that everybody on the earth at that time spoke the same language. And they decided that they were going to build a tower that reached all the way to heaven. And so the scripture says that the Lord saw the tower and saw what the people were planning. And it says that the people were one and that they spoke the same language and that nothing will be restrained from them that they can't imagine to do. So the Lord scattered the people and changed their languages. Now that tells me how strong and how powerful unity is. Amen. Because notice it says the people were one and that they all spoke the same language. It says so nothing would be restrained for them to do. They were a unified people. So when we have a unified people, we can accomplish a great deal, can't we? Amen. So with unity, you will be successful. With unity, you can accomplish great things. And you can be a champion with unity. Now, unity is a powerful, powerful force that will propel you to success. It'll propel you to success in every area of your life, in your family, on your job, in your church, and everything that you do. Unity will propel you. It is powerful. It is a great, strong force. So we want to remember that in every area of our lives. We want unity. We want to do everything that we can do to produce unity. Amen? Everything. Now listen to this. Grasp hold of this statement right here. Everything that is successful requires unity. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. Everything that is successful requires unity. So I wanted to give you a little example of that this morning. And I'm not a football fan. I don't never have watched football, never really understood football. But after this football game one night, a reporter was interviewing the star running back. And this running back has set a record for the amount of yards he had rushed in this game. And so the man interviewing him, he said, asked him, he said, "How did you do that? What is your secret?" And so the man, the first thing that the man said, he said, "It was because of my offensive line." And then he said, "And it was because I had such great coaches and had such great trainers that I was able to do this record, that I was able to be successful." Amen. See, he knew that he couldn't accomplish that record on his own. Amen. It wasn't just that he was so wonderful. See, he recognized that he didn't do this by himself. Amen. He wasn't an island to himself. And he gave credit and honor where honor was due. He knew it took flowing with his leaders. It took flowing with his team, amen, to accomplish that record. So he gained strength by flowing. Amen. He had to flow to grow. Amen. Amen. We have to flow to grow. Amen. Flowing in unity produces champions. Flowing in unity produces champions. When you flow in unity, you'll go farther and accomplish more. When you flow in unity, you'll go farther and you'll accomplish more. I heard an interesting fact this week about geese. Have you ever noticed that when geese fly, they fly in a V? I love to watch them. I'm like, what did they do? Did they wake up this morning and have this meeting? Now, this is where we're going to be in line when we go flying through the air. We're going to be in this V. Now, geese number one, you're in the middle. Two here, three there, and so forth. You know, did they all figure this thing out, you know, before they took off? But anyway, God put something in these geese that they knew, amen, what to do. And the reason that these geese fly in a V is because it takes 40% less energy than it would take for them to fly by themselves. And so because they're using 40% less energy, they can fly farther. Amen? They can fly farther. It gives them the ability to fly farther. And so they flow in unity. Amen? What if that middle bird said, I ain't doing this. I can do better on my own. And so he got out of formation. It's going to affect the whole team.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So if we flow together, we go farther and we have more success. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Unity. Glory to God. Fly farther. It's impossible for anybody to do anything significant by themselves. Say that one again. It is impossible for anybody to do anything significant by themselves. Now, an example of that I wanted to give this morning is it is impossible for Pastor Rock to run this church by himself.
Amen.
Think about that this morning. Amen. He can't lead praise and worship. He can't run audio. He can't run the cameras. He can't usher. He can't park the cars in the parking lot. He can't be a greeter. He can't take care of the babies in the nursery. He can't do the tape ministry. He can't run the food ministry. He can't teach the children in the children's church. He can't teach the youth class. And the list goes on and on and on. Amen? So it takes all of us. It takes a unified body, amen, to run the church. And the same thing is with anything. A home. It takes a unified body to run a home. On your job or a business, it takes a unified body to run a business. Amen. No wonder the enemy hates unification. Because imagine what we can accomplish if we're unified. Amen. So can I just throw one little thing in here? When Pastor puts somebody in authority in an area of ministry here at the church, he needs the ones that are helping. They're in the helps ministry. He needs you to flow with the leader. Amen. No, he brought it out. Not that one person knows it all, or that you don't have something good to suggest, and you can do that. Go to the leader. Don't go to your so and so and say, I think it could be done this way. I think it'd be better this way. See, there's a right way to do things, and there's a wrong way. And we want to do it in the right way, amen, because we want to be unified, because we want to go farther and accomplish more, don't we? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we're all flowing together in unity, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. Amen. And I want to end with this quote. This was at a business convention, and so it was geared more so for business. But it says, if you can get everyone in your organization rowing in the same direction, you will conquer every adversity and every place every time. So if you can get everybody in your family rowing in the same direction, amen, no adversity will conquer you. If you can get everybody in the church rowing in the same direction, it will be impossible for the adversary to come in and cause division. It will be impossible for the church to fall. It'll be impossible for the church to fail. Amen? Because there is strength in unity. Glory to God. And nothing will be impossible for that church. Hallelujah. That's unity, everybody. That is unity, and that is how we become a champion. Glory to God. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We all want to be a champion. God wants us to be a champion this morning. Amen. He wants us to have the abundant life. He wants us to have the best of life. Amen. And so all we've got to do is flow with God. When we flow with God, we can't go wrong. Amen. Amen.